Hi, Howie Hawkins. Welcome to KABU.
Well, thank you. It's good to be here.
Howie Hawkins was a Green Party candidate for president in 2020. He got smothered because most of the voters who preferred Howie on the Green Party platform, and a lot of them, they felt compelled to vote for the lesser evil, that is Biden. But from another perspective today, Howie and the Greens did really well because over the years, the Greens and many other climate action groups, and some in Congress like Bernie Sanders, they succeeded in building public support for climate action and pushing the Democrats and Biden to make climate action, they say, their number one priority. And recently, the Democrats surprised us by enacting the mislabeled Inflation Reduction Act. It should be called the Climate Action Act. It's been characterized by reputable folks as transformative, which I don't think is exaggeration. But transformative to what? Will it be corporate America's vision of a clean energy future, with them continuing to dominate the economy and politics and ransack the planet for profits? That's no different from today, except for being powered by sun and wind energy. Or will it be a transformation to the left's vision of that better, necessary, democratic, sustainable, possible world? At the heart of that world is the cities building out sun and wind power, forming a public agency or authority, run democratically and leading the crusade for sun and wind installations, and also energy conservation and use reduction. So, Howie, tell us about the Climate Action Act.
Well, like any piece of legislation, how it's implemented makes all the difference in the world. Now, the overall picture, I call it Build Back Badly compared to Build Back Better, which itself was insufficient to really deal with the climate crisis. You know, the spending on renewable energy is 5% of what was originally proposed by Biden. But within the legislation, there's some important things that we have to work on. One of them is it gives the Environmental Protection Agency, against decisions by the Supreme Court, the power to regulate carbon dioxide as a pollutant, which means we have regulatory powers we didn't have before this act. And then what it does in terms of the incentives, which I think are problematic in general because it's all about incentives to private corporations so the corporations remain in charge. But what changed is that public power utilities can also get these incentives where before they couldn't. And that's where we can really work on implementing renewable generation energy efficiency programs in our communities where we have public power. And, you know, that's big cities like Cleveland and Los Angeles and Sacramento, as well as really there are over 2,000 public power utilities in the country. Many of them are small municipals, but there's a lot of work we can do there. And where we don't have them, you know, maybe we fight to get public power so we can take advantage of the incentives, the subsidies that are provided to produce renewable energy in this bill.
It seems to me it's a huge pile of money to do exactly what we need to be done, which is build out quickly. The corporate sector does not want to do it quickly. They want to take their time so that they don't strand their assets. Cities are not going to strand any assets. They can build out energy and apparently can get federal dollars to do it. And there's been no cap on the amounts that can be requested. That's almost too good to believe, yeah. But I think that's how it's starting now, at least, for cities and states.
Well, there's $30 billion in the bill to build renewable generation, solar panels, wind turbines, battery storage. It also includes processing the critical minerals that are needed for these materials, and utilities, public power utilities, are involved in that latter industry. But there's $30 billion there, and, you know, you're right. The public power utilities have to get in the line quickly before the big solar and wind companies who are geared up to do this apply for that money, and it runs out. It's $30 billion over 10 years. That's $3 billion a year. So
that's not much,
compared to
actually
what's needed. Huh?
That's not much. $3 billion a year sounds like a lot, but it doesn't buy very much anymore.
Right. So, you know, what we can hope is that one of these big public power utilities gets the money and sets up an exemplary system, and then others see how well it works, and it creates momentum to do the same thing elsewhere.
Yeah, that's a very strong point. If we can model in, let's say, Los Angeles and Cleveland, or any of the other big cities, Burbank, there are lots of cities of more than 200,000 that have public power. If we can model very rapid transition to renewable energy, that's going to make it very difficult for the corporate sector to gain the authority to direct the mobilization when the country becomes alive to the realization that they're in deep, deep trouble. And that realization is growing, it seems to me, very rapidly. Howie, let's talk about a couple of the other things, just touch on them, that are in the bill. They also have a fee for releasing methane from fracking or any kind of extraction method for fossil fuels. And the fee gets greater as the amounts get greater. It seems to me that methane now has become a very dangerous. There's so much of it now being released. That seems to me, if it's enforced, really important. And in other parts of the law, they encourage states, it encourages states to adopt California law right now to phase out gas-powered cars by 2035. And, of course, they have big cash payments for buying electric cars. It seems to me those are steps in the right direction.
Well, the methane fee you can get by carbon capture and sequestration, and that's problematic because right now 12 out of 13 carbon capture facilities are using the carbon capture to pump into oil wells, get more oil out of the fracked oil wells that they've drilled. So it could be a subsidy for more fossil fuel production, you know, oil production. So that's the problem there. I mean, in general, if they gave the, well, you pay for releasing it. So the incentive is to capture it. And but then the question is where it goes. And as one analyst of this bill pointed out, you'll need 65,000 miles of CO2 pipelines to reach the level of carbon capture assumed in the models about this bill. Because you've heard that these models say this is going to reduce carbon emissions by 40%, but they have really high assumptions about the amount of carbon that will be captured when the fossil fuels were still burning. And it would take 65,000 miles of pipeline to be able to pipe that carbon to where it would be injected into the ground. And unfortunately, most of it would be oil wells. So that's methane piece is very problematic.
Very problematic. I don't think they're going to get very far on it. It's a boondoggle to the coal companies. What's your sense of what we did right over the last 20 years to build a constituency for the energy, for a possible energy transformation? And how can the left encourage and sometimes force and cities and states and public utilities now to seize the opportunity for building out the clean, renewable sun and wind energy?
Well, I would say, you know, we've been at this for 50 years, really, since Earth Day. I know I was involved in the Anti-Nuclear Clamshell Alliance, and we were talking about the jobs are in renewables. They're cheaper than nuclear and safer than fossil fuels as well. And we've won that argument with the public. Now, there's no doubt about that, despite enormous corporate-funded propaganda saying there is no climate problem and that kind of thing. So even though their scientists were telling them there is. So we've won that argument. Now it's not so much a debate as to whether there's climate change. It's a debate about what to do about it. And we got to keep pushing because while this bill has some gestures in the right direction, the scale is totally inadequate to what we need. And we need to do a lot more through the public sector instead of trying to incentivize corporations that got us into this mess in the first place. There's coming up a bill. It was a side deal because they couldn't put it in this Inflation Reduction Act because it was non-budgetary, but it's easing the permitting pipelines for natural gas and oil and CO2, and that can be defeated. I don't know what the balance of forces is in Congress. I know a lot of progressives are saying they're against it. I think the big question will be whether the Republicans say we're against it too because the Democrats proposed it, because otherwise they'd be with the oil industry and the gas industry. So that's a big fight. If we can stop that, then we can fight pipeline by pipeline, project by project against these corporate plans to continue the fossil fuel age. So, you know, there are big battles ahead, and $30 billion is certainly not enough to build out, you know, solar and wind. There's $80 billion in consumer incentives for electric vehicles and heat pumps and solar panels, but they're really biased toward the affluent. I mean, electric vehicles, you know, average price for a new one is $65,000, and you can get a $7,500 tax credit. It is refundable, so even if you're low income, you can, and you're not deducting things like that from your taxes, you can get it back. But when it comes to heat pumps and energy efficiency applications at home, those are not refundable, which means you have to have the tax liability to deduct it from. So there's a lot of improvement there in terms of the consumer subsidies. So I think, you know, we got to take what this is, use the parts we can, but then push for much, much more because, you know, we're running out of time. You mentioned methane before. You know, the studies now say that one third of the global warming is attributable to methane, which over a 20-year period, it dissolves faster in the atmosphere, is over 80 times more potent in heating the planet. And, you know, so we got a serious problem there. We're running out of time. So I think, yeah, we won the argument. Now we got to translate public opinion into public policy that's a lot stronger than what we have so far.
Amen, Howie. There's a chorus of amens from the congregation. Hey, thanks for talking to us today. Keep up the good work. You may not win the presidency, but maybe the people can win the war against our corporate friends. Thanks a lot.
Well, thanks for having me.